Okay, my friend. So this is the very last chapter of the laws of the foundations of the Torah. Yisodei HaTorah. Very foundations of the Torah. There are 10 chapters. And that seems to be quite significant. 10 chapters. Nice complete number, like the 10 commandments, etc. And this is, we are concluding the very first set of laws in the Rambam's 14 volume, 83 sets of laws. We did one of 83, the 10 chapters of the first set of laws, which is the laws of the foundation of the Torah. This will be the last, the 10th. So we're making a siyum, a chazak of sorts. If you made it this far, it's a major accomplishment. Yasher koach. And it's a very fascinating chapter and has to do with prophecy. Let's dive right in. Aleph. Kol navi sheyamod lanu v'yomar shehashem shlacho, any prophet that stands up for us and says, God has sent me. How do we know if he is a real prophet or if he's a charlatan? So you might say, well, he's got to do miracles like Moses or Elijah, says the Rambam. No. He does not have to do any of the miracles like Moses or the miracles of Elijah or of Elisha, which have some kind of change from the normal way that things go in the world. He doesn't have to perform some supernatural altering of the natural order. So how do we know if he's a prophet? The way that his can show that he's a prophet is by saying things that are going to happen in the world. And his words come true. Shenemar, as it says in Deuteronomy, the Torah itself in Deuteronomy asks this question and says, if you, the Jewish people, are going to say in your hearts, how are we going to know what is true prophecy and what is not? And the Torah there explains and says, but the Rambam doesn't bring the rest of the verse, but the rest of the verse says there that if he said something is going to happen and it doesn't happen, you know that he's a false prophet. So Rambam is deriving from there, it's not actually explicit in the verse, he's deriving from there that if he says something that is does come true, you will know that he is a prophet. If somebody will come, and these are two very important words, haraui linivua, that he is worthy of prophecy. In other words, even if he says something that is true, that turns out to be true, if he's not a person that has the quality of a prophet, as we learned in previous chapters in chapter 7, that a Navi is not just a righteous, pious Jew, he's a person who really has given everything up, has no concern of the material world, and is completely devoted to God and Torah and spirit and his own inner work. If such a person who is fit for a prophecy, if such a person comes to you, b'malachot Hashem, and the agency of God, meaning he comes as a messenger of God, v'lo yavo lehosif v'lo ligra, and he's not coming. This is very important. He's not coming to add anything to the Torah, and he's not coming to detract anything from the Torah. He's coming and saying, we need to serve God with all the mitzvahs that are already in the Torah. So he's fortifying the Torah. He's not adding anything or taking anything away. We don't say to him, split the sea. Revive the dead. And similar things. And then only then will we believe in you. No. Rather, we tell him, Im Noviata, if you are a prophet, you should say things that are going to happen. And he says it. And then we wait and we see. Will his words come true? Im lo, if not. Now, what if it happens, but not exactly how he said it? Says Rambam, no good. Even if one small matter falls short in his prediction, be a dua shehu nevi sheker. It is obvious that he is a false prophet. Not obvious, but it is known. Bimbo, Dvarav Kulon, Yubinen Raman, and if they all come true, every word, then we know that this is a person that we can trust. Trustworthy prophet. Bey, Zubaykinoy Se Palmim Harbey, we check him many times. Now, how much is that? The Rambam doesn't define it. The commentators talk about it. One of the commentators says it means three times. Others have different opinions. Rambam says many times. Im nimtzu dvarav ne'amanim kulan, if everything he says turns out to come out true, he is a true prophet. As it says of Shmuel, vayeda kol Yisrael midan vad be'shava, kin emen Shmuel en aviyash la'ashem. It says of the prophet Samuel that every Jew from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south knew that Shmuel was a trustworthy and proven prophet unto God. So if the commentaries say that after one prediction, we say, oh, this guy seems like a prophet and we need to take him serious as a prophet. But until he is tested several times, you can still wonder, is he a real prophet or not? Gimel, Balei Amoinim, HaKoyisim, Mashas Liyeis. Here the Rambam raises a question. If the whole excitement of a prophet, his whole novelty, is that he's predicting the future, not that he's doing miracles, so then how is he different than all these fortune tellers who also predict the future? What difference is there between the prophet and the fortune tellers? The answer is that these fortune tellers, some of the things they say come true, and some of them don't. As it says in Isaiah, Yamdu Navi Yeshua, let the stargazers, the astrologers, and the diviners of what will happen in the months, let them come and save you from what will come upon you. So it says, May Asher Yavoyu Aleich, from what will come upon you, rather than from all that. So in other words, my asher v'lei kol asher, some of the things that they predict actually does come true, but not all of it. That is what defines the stargazers and the astrologers, is that they're sometimes right, but even when they are right, they're not completely right. It's possible that nothing will come of what of their words. The whole thing was a mistake. Also in Isaiah, that God frustrates the omens of imposters and drives diviners mad. But the prophet, so here you see again this idea that we've seen, that God creates the world with a kind of balance. There's always a real thing, and then there's the fake thing. There's real food, there's fake food. There's real happiness, and then there's fake happiness. There's real sadness that brings to something good, and there's fake sadness, depression. Everything, there's a real and there's a fake. And so there's a real prophet, there's also a fake fortune teller. But the Navi, the prophet, called Dvarav Kayamin, everything that he says will come true. As it says in Kings, Ki lo yipo midvar Hashem arzo. Nothing from the word of God will fall to the ground, meaning will not come true. So there we see that the defining factor of the prophet is that everything that he says is what comes true. And we see this also in Jeremiah, where he makes this distinction between the stargazers and the prophet, is that the prophet, the Jeremiah is saying, the prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but he who receives my word shall speak words of truth. So he's comparing people who have dreams, these are like the stargazers, to the Navi. And he says, what is the chaff to the grain? Mala teven es abar no mashem. He's comparing the words of the stargazers and the dreamers to chaff that has a little bit of grain in it. Everything has to have a little bit of truth in order to be able to market it, make it marketable. But Dvar Hashem, the word of God, that is like grain that has no chaff at all. Here the Rambam says that in fact the Torah, when it talks about these stargazers and fortune tellers and says don't follow these people, Don't engage with them. Don't ask their opinion. Don't speak to them. Don't consult with them. It's in that context, at the end of all that, it says, I am going to give you a prophet. In other words, so the Torah clearly is juxtaposing these two things, that these are the fake ones, and the prophet, his role is to predict the future in a precise way so that you'll know that he's a prophet and you'll know that you should listen to him. So we see that the prophet is here to teach us things that will tell us things that will happen in the future, whether there's going to be a famine, or there's going to be satiety, whether there's going to be war, whether there'll be peace, etc. And even private, individual things, not big things that affects the entire community, but personal things. For example, we have in the book of Samuel that Saul, King Saul, before he became King Saul, he lost something, and he went to the Navi, to the prophet Samuel, and the prophet told him where it was. And it was known. You go to the prophet will tell you where it is. So Rambam's big point here is that don't mistake the idea of a prophet as somebody who is going to give you new ideas, not ideas, but new mitzvahs or reduce the mitzvahs, which of course we had that in history where people came and said, hey, God changed his mind. He's done with the Jewish people. He's done with this old covenant, God forbid. And throughout our history, there were the big ones, Christianity, Islam, but there were other ones throughout our history that came and said, oh, I'm a prophet, and they did miracles, and they did this. And so the people were quite, confused by this at times. And some of them followed these false prophets. In the Rambam's times, there was a famous issue in Yemen where they were dealing with this kind of a situation, and the Rambam mentored them. He wrote them long letters, Igeres Taimon, where he elaborates on some of these ideas to help them to go through that challenge. And the Rambam lays it out very clearly here. Don't mistake the idea of a prophet as somebody who's coming to change any of the laws. The prophet, his job is to strengthen the Torah of Moses, not, God forbid, to take anything away or to add anything to it. Okay, any questions or comments before we go on? It's a pretty short one, so we can take a comment in the middle. I got two laws left. No questions.
I have one. Does the Rambam go on later on to discuss the Zohar?
The Rambam does not discuss the Zohar. Doesn't mention it. But in general, he doesn't really talk about the books in the laws section. In the Hakdama, in the introduction, he did talk about the Mishnah, and he talked about the Gemara, and he talked about the Tosefta, etc. But he doesn't really get into the books. Okay, weiter gegangen. Number four, the Rambam is going to tell us that there is an exception where the Navi, the prophet, will say something and it won't come true. And he's still considered, it doesn't mean that he's a false prophet. What is that? Divrei ha'poron shenavi yemer, if the prophet is going to predict some kind of doom, for example, if he says so-and-so is going to die, or this year is going to, such and such year is going to be a year of famine, or there's going to be a war, and similar type things, if his prediction doesn't pan out, that is not a contradiction to his being a prophet. The actual translation is, this does not nullify the validity of his prophecy. It was a real prophecy. You can't say, we don't say, oh, he spoke and it didn't happen. Why? Because God is slow to anger. Virav chesed, and abundant in kindness. He forgives evil. It's possible that people repented. V'nislach lahem, and they were forgiven. For example, the people of Nineveh, whom we read about on Yom Kippur at Mincha, the famous story of Jonah, where God sends Jonah to Nineveh, and he gets caught in the whale and the whole story, but he comes there eventually and he warns them and he says, God is going to destroy this place. And the king tells all the people, you better repent. We don't want to be destroyed. And they do repent and the place is not destroyed. So he said, God says it's going to be destroyed. It didn't happen. Does that mean he's a false prophet? No. It means that they repented and God forgave them. So either in the case of Nineveh, where the doom, the prophecy of doom was not fulfilled at all, they were not destroyed at all, or in some cases, the doom is postponed, as in the case of Chizkiah, King Chizkiah, because of his prayers, it was predicted that certain thing would happen to him at a certain time, but because of his prayers, it was delayed. But if he guarantees, promises that a good thing is going to happen, and he says it's going to be so and so, and that good thing does not come to be, then you know for sure that he is a false prophet. Because any good thing that God decrees, even if it's on some condition, he doesn't retract. Ha. See, here's a section over here that is not from the Rambam. So I'm going to skip it. This whole section is not in the Rambam. It was added later, so we skip it. Halamadito, so we learn from here. Shebedivri ha-teva b'vadi b'chan ha-novi. So this was a section, a part that was added. Somebody added later, and it came confused that this was actually something the Rambam wrote. But the authentic editions don't have it. So we now learn from all this that can a Navi be tested only if he predicts something good? Because if he predicts something bad and it doesn't happen, he can't really say that it was true. He can't really say that he's a false prophet. And the Rambam now gives you a historic moment where towards the end of the first temple era, and Nebuchadnezzar was coming to exile the people, to take the to destroy the temple, to take the vessels of the temple into exile. And Jeremiah was the prophet of doom. He was the one saying, it's over. This is all going to happen. Those vessels are not coming back from Babel, from Babylonia. But there was another guy, Hananiah ben Azur. He said he's also a prophet. And he said, no, he's going to come back. It's going to be okay. And Jeremiah... was prophesying that it was going to be not good. And Hananiah was saying it was going to be good. So Jeremiah, said to Hananiah, if what I'm saying doesn't happen, there's no proof that I'm a false prophet. Because people may have repented, and that's why it didn't happen. But if your words don't come true, it will be known that you are a false prophet. And these are the words in Jeremiah, Achshmanos Adover Azeh. The Navi that will speak Shalom, will speak of something good that's going to happen. And his words come true, we'll know that he's a true prophet. So this is, again, a halacha dala. The Rambam is telling us that if there's a prediction for something bad that's going to happen, and it doesn't happen, it's not a proof that the prophet is not a real prophet. Because it could be that things changed, like in Nineveh and like with Chizkiah. But if he promises something good, then you can't say, oh, well, maybe the good thing didn't happen because the Jews didn't deserve it. No, that God doesn't work that way. Once he says something is happening, it's going to be good, it can't change. Interesting, the Rambam in his introduction to Mishnah raises a question on this, a seeming contradiction. Because we know in the story of Jacob that God promised him that he's going to come back to his father Isaac and everything's going to be great. And yet, when he comes back towards Parshas Vayishlach and he's coming towards Esav, he's afraid. He's afraid. And the question is, why? Why was he afraid? God had promised him that everything would be going to work out just fine. So the Rambam says, Rashi there says, because he was afraid that maybe he fell short in his service of God, and therefore he didn't deserve the fulfillment of the promise that everything would be okay. But the Rambam asks, one second, if God gives you a promise for good, that has to happen, even if you fell short. So the Rambam makes a distinction between a prophecy that is said to an individual and a prophecy that is said to the prophet to tell the people in public. If it's a private communication from God to the prophet, as in the case of Jacob, then it's possible that if the prophet, the person who got this prophecy, doesn't do what he was supposed to do and he messed up, then he won't. Then God's promise will not be fulfilled, even for the good. But if God is saying to the people, to the public, that something good is going to happen, that cannot be rescinded. That's the Rambam in the introduction to Mishnah. I'll share with you a very interesting thing that the Rebbe taught in 1988. The Rebbe talked about this idea, and he said, it still rubs us the wrong way that the prophecy was false. He said, God said this is going to happen, this negative thing, and it doesn't happen. It just, okay, they've repented and it didn't happen, but so the Rebbe actually flipped it, and he said, the prophecy was fulfilled. What do you mean? The purpose of a prophecy of doom is not that it should happen. The whole reason that a prophecy of doom is given is so that people should repent and that it shouldn't happen. Quotes in the Torah itself, it says, "V'noshantem ba'aretz." You're going to grow old in the land. V'noshantem. And the gematria of v'noshantem is 852. Midrash says that there was hinted in that verse that the Jewish people were going to be in the land of Israel for 852 years, after which they will be exiled. And it almost happened. We'll see in a second. And so the Rebbe says about that, is the Torah just giving us this doom destiny? No, the Torah is telling us this to inspire us, to provoke us, to make it a different ending. That it shouldn't. We shouldn't go into exile if you do. A negative prophecy, the whole purpose of the negative prophecy of doom is so that we repent. So if there's a prophecy of doom and the people repent, it's not that the prophecy was false, God forbid. The prophecy is being fulfilled. The purpose of the prophecy is being fulfilled in that it caused the people to repent. That's the Rebbe's comment in Sefer HaSichos Tafshim Memtes in a footnote there. The Rebbe references this Rambam. Oh, so saying that, in fact, what happened with the V'noshantem, the 852, is that God took us out 2 years earlier, 850. Not took us out. We went into exile 2 years earlier, because otherwise it would have been even worse. Okay. Let's do the very last halakha of this beautiful chapter. Navishay, so we had that. How do we know that a person is a bona fide prophet? Is if he predicts something that would happen, it happens. He does this again and again, and we know he's a real prophet. So there, the Rambam tells us there's another way that you can become a prophet, and that's by somebody who is already known to be a prophet saying that you are a prophet. So a prophet, where another prophet testified about him that he is a prophet. We can assume that that person is a prophet, and the second person does not need to be investigated. How do we know this? Well, it's right there in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu testified that Joshua was a prophet, and everybody believed it. So there's in Deuteronomy, we read about the changing of the guard, the passing of the reins from Moses to Joshua, and it doesn't say that Joshua did any signs. It doesn't say that he predicted any future thing. All it says is that Moshe appointed him and said, you're the new prophet. And the people believed that. So, and the Torah records that. So Yeshua later did many miracles. You know, he stopped the sun and all of that in the book of Joshua. But in the book of Deuteronomy, he's already accepted as a prophet. And before he does anything, why? Because Moshe said, you can trust this man. So it is from generation and the rest of the generations. A prophet. Now, here the Rambam adds something that once we know that a prophet is a bona fide, authentic prophet, we're not allowed to keep pestering him and saying, well, is he a prophet? Is he not a prophet? Make us another sign. Once it's established, just go with it. Don't keep second guessing it. So here's what he says. Navi shenayidin avuasi. V'aminu b'dvarav, and we believed his words time after time, or if he became a prophet the other way, like Joshua became for Moses. And he is behaving and walking in the paths of prophecy, as we said before, that he has to be someone who is ra'oi l'nevoi, has to be someone who is fit to be a prophet. He's going in the ways of prophecy, of piety, and renouncing all pleasures of this world, etc., etc. Asur lachshov achrav, you're not allowed to second guess him, and to second guess his prophecy and say, well, maybe it's true, maybe it's not true, I don't know. And it's forbidden to test him more than necessary, and we shouldn't be testing him forever. As it says in Deuteronomy, do not test the Lord your God as you tested him at Massa. Where the Jewish people said, is God with us or not? So when Moses, this is how Rambam learns it, when Moses told the people, we're going to have water, they didn't believe him. So the Torah is saying, don't do that. Moses is a prophet. If he told you there's going to be water, just trust him. Don't. Stop kvetching. Elam yachash anayjish is a Navi. Once we know that he's a prophet, believe it and know that God is within you. How is God within you? And through the prophet. And don't second guess him. And don't second guess his prophecy. As it says in Ezekiel, V'yadu ki Navi hoya b'seicham. They shall know that a prophet was in their midst. Brich Rachmana Desayan, blessed is the merciful one who has assisted us in concluding the first set of laws, Yisodei Torah, chapter 10, Chazak, Chazak, v'nitchazek. We welcome questions and or comments. Hillel Vakasha.
How about the prophet prophesizing something that could happen in the kind of distant future, beyond, you know, the life of the generation? How would you know that this is not? People wouldn't know that. They say what happened 200 years later or something.
Well, if it's a prophet that has been vetted, and we know that they're an authentic prophet, then why shouldn't we believe what he said, regardless of when it's supposed to happen? If he's a prophet that hasn't been vetted, then we don't know what to make of it because he hasn't been vetted.
Okay. It used to be relatively short-term predictions. This way, it can only wonder.
Say again?
It used to be first tested if his, you know, short-term predictions went through, you know, and this way we know
exactly
what's going to happen in the future.
Exactly, right. The only way he can be tested is, yeah. Short term.
I have a question, Rabbi.
Tavakasha.
Are there, I mean, it seems to me there's many, many individuals that are on the level of prophecy, so to speak, but maybe not actually prophesized, like Shimon Bar Yochai, or maybe like the sages of the Talmud, or the Arizal, or the Baal Shem Tov. These are elevated individuals that no doubt even speak the prophets.
That's a very good point. Yeah, go ahead.
So, is it a different classification with these extremely spiritual individuals? Or are they even more elevated than prophets?
It's a great, great point. So the Alter Rebbe in Tanya actually references this, and he quotes something from the Talmud, which is Chacham Adif Minavi, that a Chacham, a wise person, is even greater than a Navi, a prophet. How's that? Because a prophet only knows what he's told. And a Chacham can extrapolate. And so the Alter Rebbe thereby explains how the Arizal, for example, who's a great Kabbalist, could have, through his mind, through his intellect, apprehended levels of within the heavens that are higher than the prophets. Why? Because first because he's a chacham. Through his wisdom, he's able to extrapolate and get to a higher place. However, the Alter Rebbe makes a distinction that when the Navi sees something, we're talking about the visions, like visions of Ezekiel, not just, you know, predicting the future, but visions of the angels and the heavens and so forth. They are seeing it in a way that the sage does not see it. Right? So imagine reading a book about something versus actually being there. Or, you know, reading the review of the Torah. So the prophet is there. He can see it. He can actually see it. This is why they completely, as you had in the Rambam, they completely fall on the ground and they're mumbling and they're going crazy from it because they're seeing something that is so lofty. The sage, on the other hand, an Arizal, for example, they are apprehending. I use the word apprehend. It's not actual seeing. They're understanding. They're grasping. They are touching it intellectually and maybe emotionally as well, but not seeing it in that same visual way that the prophets are seeing it. So that's what I would say about that. As far as prophecy in terms of predicting the future, so we do have this idea that they, you know, there's no prophecy outside of Israel, for example. This was why, by the way, going to the story of Jonah and Nineveh, what was Jonah's plan? To run away from God? You know, like, was he that really that foolish that he thought he could run away from God? So one of the explanations is that he ran outside of the land of Israel. So he was like going outside of the area of coverage because God couldn't reach him outside. There's no prophecy outside of Israel. So he'd be like, oh, sorry, my phone's not working. I didn't hear anything. So it didn't quite work for him. But there is this idea that prophecy only occurs in the land of Israel, and that at a certain point, you know, we have the end of the era of the prophets, like we have in Pirkei Avot in the first mishnah of the first chapter, where it says, you know, Moses handed it down to the elders to the prophets, and the prophets to the men of the great assembly. And that's the end, like Ezra and Nehemiah. These are the last of the prophets, right? As Rambam had it in the introduction. So as far as like predicting the future, there is a certain type of Navi in that sense, but we still have the tzaddikim, the righteous people, the pious people who can predict the future. And they know what's going on. It says of the Baal Shem Tov that he was able to see everything that was going on throughout the world. So he had a pretty intense computer operation. So, but still, it's called Ruach HaKodesh. It's called Holy Spirit. It's not called prophecy. Prophecy is its unique designation, and that is considered to have been of a certain era. It does also say that prophecy will return prior to the era of Mashiach. It'll start coming back. So, in recent generations, we have had prophets, actual prophets, prophecies. Excellent question. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another wonderful chapter of Rambam. Mazel Tov, congratulations on completing the first set of one of 83. Only 80, oh no, I'm sorry, one of 80. 76 plus 7 is 84. One of 84, I'm sorry. So you're well on your way to mastering all of Torah. All right, Laila Tov.
Shavua Tov.
Thank you.